Welcome to SCOTUSCast. On January 16, 2008, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in the Quanta Computer v. LG Electronics case. At issue in the case is whether a patent holder can extract royalties from not only a licensed user of its patents, but also from the licensed user's subsequent purchasers. In this episode of SCOTUSCast, UMKC law professor Chris Holman discusses the case. As always, the Federalist Society itself takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Holman.
Hi, my name is Chris Holman. I am a law professor at the University of Missouri Kansas City School of Law. And today, I will be discussing the Supreme Court case of Quanta Computer versus LG Electronics. Yesterday was January 16th, 2008, and on that date, the Supreme Court heard the oral arguments in the case. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the significance of the case, the facts of the case, and a little commentary on the oral arguments. What is this case about? Basically, it's a patent case, and the question is, to what extent or whether a patent owner can impose post-sale restrictions on the purchaser of a patent item. Okay. Under current Federal Circuit precedent, and the Federal Circuit is a court of appeals that basically hears all patent cases, dating back to a 1992 decision called the Mallinckrodt decision, the Federal Circuit has held that it is permissible for a patent owner to impose post-sale restrictions on purchasers of patent products. Basically, the Federal Circuit has held that in the absence of any explicit disclaimer, there's an implied license to use the patented product in any way the purchaser would like, that the patent rights have been exhausted. But that implication can be overcome in a case where the patent owner explicitly carves out or makes some kind of condition on the sale. So, for example, in Mallinckrodt, the product was a medical device, and the patent owner sold the medical device with notice to the purchasers that it was intended for only a single use, and basically notified the purchasers that they were only authorized to use this medical device a single time. The purchasers were hospitals. They began to contract out with a company to refurbish these medical devices to use them more than one time, and Mallinckrodt sued for patent infringement because by reusing, they were exceeding the scope of the license that they had conferred by the sale. And in that case, the Federal Circuit said, yes, that's fine. Assuming the notice is sufficient, a patent owner can limit the otherwise unconditional license that goes along with the sale of a patented item. Okay. Since that time, the Federal Circuit has been consistent in this view, up to and including its decision in the Quanta case that's being appealed here to the Supreme Court. Now, these type of post-sale restrictions by patent owners are fairly common, particularly in industries like biotechnology. A couple of examples. One would be reagents and methods that can be used for basic non-commercial research, or also for commercial uses. There are a number of products that can be either used for basic research or commercially. And the patent owners who are selling these products or licensing the sale of these products would like to distinguish between these two markets. And so what generally happens is you can buy a biotech product and one of these products, and there's notice that comes with the product that basically says that by purchasing the product, the purchaser has been granted a license to use it for non-commercial research purposes, but that license does not encompass commercial uses, for example, drug development or used in commercial diagnostics, and that if the purchaser wants to use it in these commercial applications, they need to come back and get an additional license. So here, the sale comes with a conditional license. It's not an unconditional sale, and presumably under Mallinckrodt, these type of conditions are fine. Another important case in biotechnology where these kind of post-sale restrictions are put in place involves genetically modified crops, plant seeds like canola and so forth that have been, soybean, that have been modified by biotechnology and sold to farmers. And these, in many cases, these farmers are required to agree that they will only use the seeds to grow up a crop and harvest it for use as a food or a feed. They will not save the seeds for replanting or for sale. And this is extremely important for the biotech companies that create these genetically modified crops, because without this type of limitation, somebody could get a hold of the seeds and start growing and harvesting the seeds, and they propagate, they'd be able to use them or sell them and completely avoid paying any kind of royalties to the patent owner. So this is that's one particular example of a case where these type of restrictions are very important. Now, LG is the petitioner in this case, and they're supported by a variety of amici, including the Solicitor General, who have come down on the side of, basically the side against the Mallinckrodt decision. What they're arguing is that Supreme Court precedent predating Mallinckrodt had established a doctrine of patent exhaustion, which pursuant to which any sale of a patented product by the patent owner exhausts all patent rights, which thereby prevents the patent owner from subsequently suing the purchaser for some kind of unauthorized use of the product, or for or suing somebody who's a repurchaser who buys from the original purchaser. Now, according to these folk, the patent rights should be exhausted after this first sale, and if the parties came to an agreement, if the patent owner came to an agreement with the purchaser restricting uses of the product, that a breach of that agreement could only be enforced or gone after under contract law, not under patent law. And the problem with this for the patent owner is, in many cases, it would be difficult to get the kind of relief under contract law that would be available under patent law, particularly because of issues of lack of privity. For example, think about the farmer selling the, or a farmer getting a hold of the seeds and planting them and saving the seeds. And if those get loose to people who are not party to the contract, under the current Mallinckrodt, the patent owner could go after these parties for growing up and these infringing seeds. But if there was only contract action, then there would be little recourse for the patent owner. Okay, now let me get into the facts of the case here. The case of Quanta versus LG Electronics. LG Electronics is the patent owner here. They own patents that cover certain computers. Intel, although not a party to this action, is a key player here, because what happened is Intel sells chipsets, which are components of computers. These chipsets do not infringe the LG patents, but according to LG, when these chipsets are purchased by computer manufacturers who then combine them with other non-Intel components to make a computer, the resulting computer infringes. And according to LG, at least at one point they argued that There's really no substantial use for these chipsets except in the construction of computer systems that infringe their patents. And if that is the case, then Intel could be liable for contributory patent infringement if they are selling a component to purchasers who then use the component to build an infringing product, and if there's really no substantially non-infringing use for the component being sold by Intel. So what Intel did was reach a settlement agreement with LG, which is a licensing agreement with LG. And pursuant to that agreement, Intel was able to continue manufacturing and selling the chipsets without being sued for infringement. They were given a license to do that. But the license explicitly excluded granting any kind of right to the purchasers of the Intel chips from combining those with non-Intel components to make a product that infringes LG's patents. Okay, so LG, and also the agreement required that notice be given to the Intel purchasers. So Intel and LG agreed that Intel would notify all purchasers of these chips of this restriction, and Intel did this. It notified its customers, who are sophisticated, presumably large computer manufacturing companies. They were notified that the purchase of these chipsets did not include a license under the LG patents. And that they could be susceptible to lawsuit if they combined them with non-Intel components. Okay, the purchasers went ahead and did this and were sued by LG. And as a defense, LG raised the patent exhaustion doctrine. Okay, they said that because they purchased these chips in an authorized, they were authorized purchasers because LG had authorized Intel to sell these chips. The chipsets were the subject of an authorized sale, and citing back to this old Supreme Court precedent, they argued that all patent rights were thereby exhausted for LG. And the district court accepted this and found that patent exhaustion did apply. The appeal was taken to the Federal Circuit, and the Federal Circuit reversed on this matter, basically consistently with the Mallinckrodt decision, and said, no, patent exhaustion only applies to a non-conditional sale, whereas in this case, clearly LG and Intel had agreed that a condition to the sale was that the sale did not provide any rights to the purchasers to combine with non-Intel products. So the Federal Circuit found that because this was a conditional sale, patent exhaustion did not apply, and the purchasers, like represented by Quanta, for example, could be sued for patent infringement by LG. So now we are in the Supreme Court, and in the Supreme Court, the primary argument being made by Quanta is that any authorized sale of a patented product by the patent owner or a licensee of the patent owner exhausts all patent rights, and thus, because this was an authorized sale, LG is not permitted to sue them for patent infringement. And they say that this cannot be overcome by notice. So this is contrary to the Federal Circuit decision and the decision in Mallinckrodt that a patent owner can, by notice, impose conditions on the sale of a patented item, thereby retaining some patent rights. Thus, according to Quanta, and this is their main argument in the oral arguments, the authorized sale of a product under the patent results in patent exhaustion, and this includes cases of contributory infringement. So even though the patent does not cover the product actually sold by Intel, the rule still applies because Intel could have been liable for contributory infringement if there wasn't for this agreement. So now, while technically LG did authorize Intel to sell products, there is the issue of the notice, and the justices during oral arguments picked up on this. And basically, several of them, including Stevens and Roberts, were questioning whether there was really a meaningful distinction between the agreement between LG and Intel, in which the purchasers were notified about the lack of a license that they had, versus an agreement where Intel could have agreed not to sell the product to any purchaser who would combine the products with non-Intel products. And so you hear Justice Roberts questioning whether there's really any big deal in this case at all, and whether it's just all about wording. And he's suggesting that the essentially the same substance of the agreement could have been achieved by using different wording, in which Intel did not authorize, where Intel agreed not to authorize its purchasers to use the product. And wouldn't that end up in the same outcome? I don't think so. I think that the important thing to note is that while Intel is technically a licensee, really this agreement is a covenant not to sue. What Intel is doing is really not seeking to act as a licensee of LG, but really trying to avoid liability for contributory infringement. And what they're essentially doing is reaching an agreement with LG that shields them from liability for selling their product to these companies, but then leaving these companies on their own with respect to how to deal with LG. And they can choose to settle independently with LG, or they, as they did here, they can challenge the patents. So I think it would be wrong to require Intel to tell its customers, well, you can't use the product, you can't combine it to make a computer, when really their intent was not to restrict them from doing that, but really to give them the option of dealing with LG in any way they might like. Because these purchasers, they're arguing that they are not infringing valid patents in the case of LG. The LG's patents are not valid and infringed.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.